Now, at this point, I'm pleased to transition to the Webb Lecture Award presentation. So welcome to the 2015 Webb Lecture Award presentation. I'll serve as the toastmaster for this presentation as we pay tribute to Linda Tyler for her excellence in pharmacy management, leadership in pharmacy practice, and advancement of hospital and health system pharmacy practice. Lunch will take place immediately after Dr. Tyler's lecture. So this morning there'll be remarks from a couple of people. Mr. John Armistead, who's the president of ASHP that you've already heard from. Dr. David Zagarek, who's acting dean of Northeastern University School of Pharmacy, and our honoree, Dr. Linda Tyler. Linda is chief pharmacy officer at the University of Utah Healthcare, and she's also associate dean of pharmacy practice at the University of Utah College of Pharmacy. Now I'll invite ASHP President John Armistead to the podium.
Morning again. I'm honored to bring greetings from the ASHP and the Board of Directors of ASHP, many of whom are in attendance today. So we're glad to be here in this wonderful leadership conference, and we're glad to be associated with this award. It's my pleasure to share some brief background in regards to the Webb Award and ASHP's activity in regards to the Webb Award. The relationship with Northeastern University, I mentioned that because we're in the home of the area of Northwestern, but Northeastern University, and this award was established by as the John W. Webb Visiting Professorship in Hospital Pharmacy by the Northeastern University College of Pharmacy and Allied Health Professions in Boston, Massachusetts in 1985. And has since continued as an annually to recognize excellence in leadership and pharmacy management. Beginning in 2006, ASHP established a deeper relationship with Northeastern University by taking upon responsibility of this award. And in 2007, the ASHP section on pharmacy practice managers was bestowed the honor of deciding on the winners of this award. The recipient of the Webb Lecture Award has since delivered an award lecture at the ASHP Conference on Leaders, the meeting to which you are attending now, for leaders in health system pharmacy practice, and participates in the traditional activities associated with the award as a visiting professor at Northeastern University. And this relationship with Northeastern has been quite beneficial for both organizations, at recognizing really health system pharmacy practice to an extraordinary level. Through the 30-year history of the award, we have had the privilege of recognizing pharmacy leaders that have really shaped our profession. And today we're honored to have several of those winners, past awardees, with us today. So I'm gonna announce a couple of names, and if you could stand, and then we'll recognize you after all are standing. So first is Bernice Breedland. So Bernice here. Paul W. Bush. We've got Charles Daniels, Dave Cravance, James G. Stevenson, Thomas Thilke, Carol Wellenberg, and let's see, just checking, is there any other past awardee that I missed that is present with us today? Oh. DZ, my goodness. DZ, David Zills. So, apologize for that. So, if we can recognize them for this. Truly, truly outstanding leadership demonstrated by these past Webb Award winners, and really the practice that we live in today is has been carved out by many of them. So on behalf of the ASHP, congratulations to Linda Tyler on your selection as distinguished recipient of the Webb Award. Linda and I had the opportunity to kind of grow professionally and develop in our professional careers, kind of in a parallel, a couple thousand miles apart, but in many ways we were together and learned a lot of activities and learned a lot about leadership together. So congratulations again to Linda. So.
Thank you,
John. At this time, I'd like to ask Dr. David Zagarek to the podium. He'll make comments on behalf of Northeastern University and introduce our honoree.
Thank you and good morning. I'd like to take a moment to just thank ASHP as well as all of you for allowing me to spend a few moments with you this morning. It's good for me while I live in Boston right now. I still consider this area of the country very much home. I am a pharmacy graduate of the University of Wisconsin. I have my graduate degrees from, and I have to say this right or they'll take my degree away, the Ohio State University. And I, for 15 years, I call Chicago home. So it was very nice to be back here. Today, I have the honor and great pleasure of bringing greetings from the School of Pharmacy at Northeastern University. This lecture is sponsored by the ASHP Section of Pharmacy Practice Managers and our school and is a centerpiece in our management training initiatives. The John W. Webb Visiting Professorship Lecture was established in 1985 by Mr. William Govea and Dr. Jerry Schumacher of Northeastern University to recognize the achievements of John W. Webb. Mr. Webb was a prominent practitioner, educator, practice innovator, and professional leader, and was the founding director of the graduate program in health systems pharmacy at Northeastern. Much of the strength of the program was in its affiliation with a number of academic medical centers in Boston. John Webb was the director of pharmacy at the Massachusetts General Hospital for many years. He was an innovator who had a number of major achievements in our profession. He led the clinical pharmacy movement in the 1960s by placing pharmacists on patient care units to interact with medical and nursing staffs in managing patient care, and conducted research on computerized prescriber order entry, putting him ahead of his time in the application of informatics in pharmacy. John also spent much of his time mentoring his many residents and graduate students. Patience, kindness, and the continuing support were the hallmarks of his tutelage. With that said, and in recognition of these traditions of excellence, it is my pleasure to introduce our John W. Webb Lecture Award recipient for 2015, Dr. Linda S. Tyler. Dr. Tyler is the Chief Pharmacy Officer for the University of Utah Healthcare and Associate Dean at the University of Utah College of Pharmacy in Salt Lake City. She also serves as the Residency Program Director for the 2-year Combined Health System Pharmacy Administration Residency and the Master of Science Degree Program. She has served as the Senior Pharmacy Leader for the organization since 2008. Before assuming her leadership role, Dr. Tyler was the director of the University of Utah Drug Information Service. During her tenure, the Drug Information Service developed national prominence, providing the content information for the ASHP Drug Shortages Resource Center and contract services for many national organizations. She previously was on the faculty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison with a clinical practice in the Trauma and Life Support Center, and worked as a poison control specialist at the Columbus, Ohio Children's Hospital, now Nationwide Children's Hospital. Dr. Tyler earned both her Bachelor of Science in Pharmacy and Doctor of Pharmacy degrees at the University of Utah. She then went on to complete a residency in pharmacy practice at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Dr. Tyler has served ASHP as a member of the Section of Clinical Specialists and Scientists Executive Committee and as chair of the Council on Practice Management. She led the expert panel to revise guidelines on formulary management in the Pharmacy and Therapeutics Committees. She also participated in the Patient Safety Improvement Corps training program for the Agency of Healthcare Research and Quality. The Webb Lecturer is a contemplative manager, namely, an individual manager who has been given the opportunity to reflect deeply on a topic of their choosing to leave the profession with a stronger vision for leadership. It is time for Dr. Tyler to share her contemplation with us. And now, James Hoffman will join me at the lectern as we invite Dr. Tyler to accept the award.
I'll read the plaque. It's the ASHP Section of Pharmacy Practice Managers and Northeastern University School of Pharmacy present Linda S. Tyler with the John W. Webb Lecture Award for Excellence in Pharmacy Management, Leadership in Pharmacy Practice, Advancing Hospital Health System Pharmacy Practice, October 19, 2015.
Thank you. You got to know, I'm an unusual Webb recipient. I'm only the fifth woman to have received this award. I'm the fifth west of the plains, so think west of Kansas City. And probably most importantly for today's remarks, I practiced later clinically in my career than most other recipients. I confess I skipped reading many of those Webb awards winners' lectures over the years. Yet today, I have the humble honor of opening the fourth decade of Webb lectures. My title is Imprinting Leadership. It is a strong image applying lasting effect. It could remind you of baby ducks following their mother, perhaps. But I also mean it in the sense of fixing firmly on the mind or memory, making an impression, having an effect. If you think of the pharmacist that had the biggest impact in your career, then that would be a strong imprint for you and give you a sense of what I mean. My title came from one of our managers who said, I can always tell when somebody has worked for you, so think a resident or a student, because they say one of those phrases you use. I realized I had been imprinting leadership pearls for many years and really hadn't recognized it. I never dreamed I would be the senior pharmacy leader for our organization. I did not prepare for this role, or at least I did not think I had. I was accumulating clinical experience, life experience, if you will, and that turns out to be very important. But I confess, I did not think of myself as a leader until recently. I had not labeled what I did as leadership. In part, I did not fully understand what leaders did. It sounds basic, but what do leaders really do? I ran across an article that resonated with me called Decoding Leadership, What Really Matters. The authors posed the question, what leadership behaviors should we encourage? The researchers distilled leadership to a framework that succinctly summarized what leaders do, identifying 20 distinct leadership traits. The researchers then surveyed over 189,000 participants in 81 diverse organizations. Participants were asked how frequently the given trait applied to their organization. And lastly, the researchers then linked these results to the organization's leadership performance. Regression analysis and management literature, I'm sure you can appreciate how that would appeal to my logic, evidence-based brain. We don't get that often in management literature. The researchers found that four behaviors, strong leadership performance commonly showed four behaviors, and these behaviors explained 89% of the variance between strong and weak organizations and leadership effectiveness. The researchers distilled it down to four things. Solve problems effectively. Operate with a strong results orientation. Seek different perspectives. And support others. This framework resonates with me both now and when I was a clinician. I did these things frequently. Is it really this simple? All of us in the room will say it's not that simple, but I do want to spend a moment talking about each of these. You will see that they incorporate many of the attributes that you think of leadership. We can put under some of the headings. But you'll also quickly realize that these are very interlinked functions. solve problems effectively. Think, how do you solve problems effectively? In decoding leadership, problem solving was clearly defined as a step before decision making. It is the process of gathering information, then analyzing it, and considering it. Now, that sort of sounds like a drug information question. To quote the authors, though, this is deceptively simple to get right. I want to talk about three aspects of problem solving. Yet. When I first started as director, my new favorite word was yet. I may not know something, but I didn't know it yet. I was smart, I could figure it out, I could ask for help. And there are so many things I did not know. Our jobs are so complex, we have to admit that it's impossible to know everything. I would think, I can't solve that problem, but quickly add, I can't solve it yet. I work as part of a team, and we have great faith in each other that we would figure it out. It is this positive, can-do attitude that sparks our creativity in problem solving and increases our ability. So first, I would ask you, when you problem solve, imagine the possibilities. It's easy to get stuck in the rut. Imagine the possibilities. Next, strong problem solving is also about preventing problems. When it is in your power, you should prevent problems. I was once asked my leadership philosophy. I was taken off guard because I really hadn't spent much time thinking about it. So I said, prevent surprises. I also really felt I needed to come up with something better. Yet, over the years, this has been an enduring mantra. It helps to crystallize what you should do and when, and ultimately foster the trust when we work with each other. It helps us to think about the information each of us needs to be effective and to support each other. And third, we often solve problems by looking at the parts when we need to take a broad system view. By looking at the systems level, we can better assess the interconnectedness. Pharmacists are uniquely positioned to take the systems view because medication use spans the entire organization. You understand how parts of the organization work and consider it when you problem solve. Likewise, pharmacists use data very, very well. You are skilled in the evaluation and application of data. When you make decisions, you need to assess the impact to the organization broadly. It is not just about pharmacy. There are special types of problems that I call knitting problems. They start out as one thing, but if you are attuned, you realize there are more dimensions, and like knitting, it becomes unraveled. It gets very disorganized before it can be reinvented into the new whole. A good example is when you do a root cause analysis, you may look at the center of the problem, but fail to see the very important relationships that may have contributed to the problem. By looking at the whole of the problem, you're able to more effectively solve the problem. So when I say solve with a systems view, I'm asking you to solve both in terms of the impact of the organization, as well as looking at the whole of the problem. So when you solve problems effectively, I would ask you to imagine the possibilities, prevent surprises, and take that system view. So next, how do you operate with strong results orientation? For most organizations, if the pharmacy does not do well, the organization does not do well. It is a simple equation. It's becoming more critical as outside forces impact us, such as increased drug costs and specialty pharmacy, just as two examples. One of my residents, after spending her first week on rotation with me, going to meetings, declared, "It's as if you have a target on your back in every meeting you go to." My boss would agree. We have a target on our back, but we are called to a higher standard. The organization depends on us, and many care about our success. Likewise, pharmacy is very unique because it is a very large expense and revenue department, and it is an extremely strong clinical department. I want to highlight several things. How do you succeed? I would say demand excellence. To achieve strong results, you as leaders need to clearly articulate the vision and set the priorities. Make no mistake, these are important functions of leaders. However, you must actually deliver results. This takes emphasizing efficiency, productivity, and emphasizing the high-value work. Likewise, we have an unrelenting commitment to increasing the quality impact of what we do. You must effectively measure our impact to the medication use system as a whole. And our goals are changing. What was strong performance last year is not strong performance this year. We must continually improve what we do. And sometimes you just need to ask for what you need to excel. People often underestimate their ability to influence because they don't even try. Even if you receive a no to your proposal the first time or any of many subsequent times, you have planted a seed. You have gotten people to think about it. I view it as they just haven't said yes yet. How do you take chances? I'm building on the comments from this morning. To fully achieve results you want, you have to be willing to try things, to take a chance. Pharmacists are not known for their risk-taking, but taking a chance means experimenting and learning. And sometimes it means failing. But through that failure, you develop resilience and the learning necessary to move forward. It's through this incremental learning that you develop the innovation you need to move forward and excel. We often think of innovation as big bang, but as was highlighted this morning, it is often instead the small incremental steps we take. And last, I want to talk about complicated and complex processes. Pharmacy is unique in that we have many complicated processes that require the traditional model of efficiency and standardization, but we have a large part of our work that is messy and complex. Some are making the distinction between that complicated and complex work. Complicated processes can be standardized. They have a beginning and an end with clear steps, though it may be many steps, throughout the process. They are predictable. They can assume a linear cause and effect relationship. And we have many of those in all of our practice areas. However, complex work has many points of interconnectedness and is not predictable. Both knitting problems and the flowchart that I have up here exemplify those complex problems. And let me give you a couple of examples. And this is part of why this resonates with me. When you are working with a patient on 15 medications with multiple drug interactions and an adverse event you're trying to figure out, it's a complex problem. Our clinicians do this every day and solve these problems by working as part of an interdisciplinary care team. Trying to figure out how a small change in your drug master file can create difficulties in your drug ordering, drug administration, and billing processes would be another complex problem, spanning the pharmacy, the nursing, and finance departments, to say the least. Complex problems are not easily measured. They typically require a higher level of communication across the system to evaluate and solve. Our successes are harder to sustain because of so many factors involved. And this is our challenge as we move forward, sustaining success with complex problems. And likewise, we have many, many complex problems in our work and in our organization. So when we operate with strong results orientation, we demand excellence, we experiment, we take a chance, and we consider complex and complicated processes. When we solve problems effectively, we can deliver excellent results. But we can only do that if we seek different perspectives along the way. So how do you seek different perspectives? And again, I want to offer several ways for your consideration. First, you need to seek input from those with whom you work, those within your organization. We all bring different perspectives to what we do, but only by sharing those perspectives and valuing that diversity will we find the ideas that you want to pursue. You need to create cultures that allow individuals to offer ideas to make things better And this is extremely important when we think about how we build a culture of safety. Everyone's input needs to be valued. Sometimes you seek input because you're implementing change and you need everybody's buy-in. And sometimes you just need to ask for help. Leaders need to be constantly scanning the environment, both within the organization, but also outside the organization. Leadership is about learning and taking in signals. Some call this antenna up. I'm sure this last year you were expected to have an accurate crystal ball. I know, what's wrong with your crystal ball? That you couldn't predict the unprecedented increases that we experienced. In pharmacy, you have to scan so many areas. You have to scan the trends in healthcare, as we have done this morning. You have to scan the trends in technology, both within healthcare and outside of healthcare, the economy, other disciplines, innovations that could impact how we care for patients. This takes strong skills in sifting through everything and identifying what ideas you want to save for later. Use that crystal ball well to define your future. You need to be open to making connections, and it is sometimes in making connections in your organization that you make stronger decisions. Sometimes it's making connections between different disciplines. Other times it's making connections in the scanning that you do. I would hope that you all have that moment when somebody says something and it triggers a sequence of ideas that is so exciting because you made a connection. And it was probably at a moment that you least expected it. So in summary, when you seek different perspectives, ask for input, scan the environment, and make connections. When we do these things, we need to support others. And some would say supporting others is probably the most important of all of these. So how can you best support others? This is David Kanan. He's one of our pharmacists. He's talking with one of our nurses on his unit. Every day he works with his interdisciplinary team, and he behaves as the pharmacy leader in solving problems effectively, operating with strong results, and seeking input. He would never describe his work in this way, but he leads when he takes care of patients. When you sincerely support others, you generate the trust and respect with those whom you work. You inspire others to do their best, and while there are many things you can do to support others, I would like to offer some. You need to show the way to navigate the ambiguity. We don't always know what will happen next, but everyone gets very anxious when they don't know. Often, you are asked yes and no questions, but the real answer is yes and no. While people may be satisfied with the absolute answer, it is very rare that you have such surety. And it would be disingenuous to pretend otherwise. You must address clearly the fears with those whom you work. They need to understand the complexity and the work we do. Second, you have a key role in preventing energy from being sapped from outside influences that takes you away from your focus. I've coined the term mud-sucking vortex. It is a miasmus of negativity that surrounds you, sometimes of your own doing, and sometimes of those around you. But it is always a choice. Do you choose the negativity of the vortex, or do you choose the positive path? Negativity not only draws you away from what you really want to do, what you need to do, but it also drains your energy and the energy of those around you. You must manage this. You must stay focused. You must find the positive path and help others to do so as well. And last, in your busy day, you may forget to spend a moment being grateful and saying thank you. The discipline of gratitude provides great impact to the individual receiving it and has actually been proven to decrease your stress. It creates a positive mindset that has the power to change things, and few things are more powerful. And it is in this moment of gratitude that you have the opportunity to imprint leadership. You can easily imagine a conversation starting by, "Thank you for the great work you did on that project. I really appreciated the creativity that you brought." But do we go on to say, In participating in this team, you demonstrated leadership. You demonstrated leadership by solving problems that will improve what we do. I like how you respected everybody's opinion and supported the team. So those are the behaviors that we have talked about. When you do so, you imprint these leadership behaviors and develop leadership in the individual so that they can lead and serve confidently. So when we support others, we navigate the ambiguity well, we preserve our energy, and we have the discipline of gratefulness. I've presented this framework of leadership behaviors. It's important to articulate clearly what leaders do. I believe this framework helps us do it. I believe it speaks to those who have leadership abilities that we need to encourage. For instance, we have several new leaders in our organization. Some have just finished their HSPA residencies. Others are clinicians taking that bold, scary step to being in a leadership position. In their interview for their position, each asked a question along the lines of, "How will I know if I'm being effective?" Or, "What do you expect of me?" And the answer to that question is because we do these things well. We solve problems effectively. We operate with strong results orientation. We will seek different perspectives, and we will support others. How do we weave this together? Imparting vision is a critical factor. It is the clear thread through the four behaviors that sets the direction. You must set a clear vision, a shared vision. Vision often feels elusive, but without vision, we are in a fog. But it can be as simple as, we will provide the best care for our patient. We will do better tomorrow than we do today. We will serve our organization and the people in our care. We will succeed together. And last, and this is the one that comes under threat recently, we will take care of our patients across the continuum of care. These are our patients in our care. Everyone needs to be clear on what we are accomplishing and be committed to be a part of that shared vision. I would tell anyone joining our department that they need to know we are a department that embraces change. We value teamwork and flexibility. We will get through change together and be in a better place, better able to take care of our patients. To do this, we need people in our organization who are willing to ask for and accept feedback, ask for help, and be willing to learn. Whatever we are doing now is not what we will be doing in 5 years. Our practice is changing, and the demands we face will continue to increase. Healthcare is a constantly changing environment, and it demands the best of us. And likewise, how we lead is changing. How is leadership changing? We are recognizing in several industries that we need to lead in new ways. The traditional hierarchies are not working to foster the innovation and creativity. They are not flexible or agile to meet the changing environment. Healthcare has not been known to be agile. But we confuse the organizational charts for communication structures when we need to communicate freely across our organization. More of our work is that complex work requiring stronger communication processes. These four behaviors are resilient to the changes on the horizon, but the who we expect to demonstrate leadership behaviors is changing. Joseph Raelin, a Northeastern University professor of management and organizational development, recently published Rethinking Leadership. He said, and I quote, "Leadership is really not about the leaders themselves. It's about the collective practice among people who work together, accomplishing the choices we make together in our mutual work," unquote. He goes on to comment that in the fast-paced environments we face, we must lead collectively. Thus, you must develop the skills of each individual and of your teams to contribute to our leadership as a whole. So the very practical question of what do leaders do is very pertinent. You need to develop broadly the leaders that will support your work. You must draw on the talent and diversity in your organization to meet the leadership challenges we face. You imprint leadership by what you do and what you say. You also have the opportunity to imprint when you recognize when leadership happens and connect the dots, especially for those who do not believe they are leaders yet. Some would say not everyone can be a leader, but that is not the changing environment we are in. Not everyone will lead to the same degree, not everyone will spend the same amount of time in the four behaviors, but we will all lead. Succinctly, leadership is no longer just for leaders. Before I close, I want to recognize a few people. I want to recognize my family. I have an amazing, supportive family. When one of my children was in elementary school, they had the assignment to come to school with a family motto. A family motto? So we discussed it at dinner, as we discussed many things. But the two top contenders were runs with scissors and jumps off cliffs. I know better than to tinker with that brilliance. I love the bold, action-oriented images these created. And likewise, I wondered how I had failed to impart danger. Would these children survive their childhood? But that was the point. These could only be our motto if we knew we would always, regardless, be there for each other, that we would take chances. I often feel like we are jumping off a cliff every day in what we do in our work. I hope you know that when you recognize me, you recognize the great team, department, and organization that I am a part of. I wish this was a picture of people so that you would get a sense of all the people that we work with, but I have a picture of us. We do not do what we do alone either. We work as part of a resilient team that serves each other and the organization. We are there for each other, regardless. I especially want to thank our COO, Quinn McKenna. He recognized in me what I did not recognize in myself. He demonstrates imprinting leadership. Thank you to the previous Webb recipients. I have now read each of your addresses. It is a rich legacy of leadership. The addresses discuss the attributes of leaders, the vision of pharmacy, and how we support each other. I feel I've gotten to know each of you a little bit better. Our Webb recipients are an inspiring legacy. You leave an imprint not only to leaders, but to the profession. And today I would ask you to especially remember the imprint that Toby Clark made. He said, "Be bold." In closing, I want to thank you for this opportunity. And here is the one thing I want to leave you with. In what you do as leaders every day, you leave lasting imprint. These imprints make a difference in developing leaders to embrace our future change. Imprint leadership. Thank you.